Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
And welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Monday evening here at Danger Studios in beautiful Coral Springs, Florida. I'm joined with my today's co-host, Mr. Ethan Moore.
Hey, Dougie. Good to be here.
That's right. And our thoughts and prayers are out for Ciro Dobrik, who's out today with his father, who's actually in the hospital.
Yeah.
So we hope that he, you know, God's strength, as I like to say. That's a good expression.
I never heard that one.
God's strength.
Seems appropriate.
God's strength is kind of like, you know, like, it's a coping type thing. You wish, you know, you have God's strength to deal with stuff.
It's like Godspeed.
Yeah,
Godspeed. A little bit, right?
Yeah, Godspeed is what? I think bless your travels?
I think if you're moving, you get Godspeed. Maybe if you're standing still, you need God's strength.
Yeah, or if you're lifting something.
Or if you...
If a boulder fell on you.
If you're deadlifting.
Yeah.
That's right.
If you're an Olympic power lifter and you want to do something like that. Speaking of power lifting, congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow! Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday yesterday. That was quite a game.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was actually exciting to watch.
Every minute was enthralling.
I did miss a little bit of the second half. I went to our good friend Perry Sack's house.
Okay.
The game. He had
Perry
a big
Sack,
party.
I wonder which side he was rooting for.
Yeah. Perry has a funny joke. He's like, you know, it's tough being a Patriots fan because every year I sprain my pointer finger from going, we're number one, and he won't have to worry about this time. You know, and he didn't, he kind of held, I mean, I wasn't there the second half. I left because two things. One, I was tired. And two, you know, I figured they're going to lose. I really felt that, you know, I bet on the Eagles, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I bet on them winning.
Nice.
Yeah. And,
so they just had to beat the spread.
Yeah. I think it was 4.5 or something. They won by 6 or something.
Yeah.
Well,
no, the Patriots were supposed to win by 4.5.
Oh, yeah.
So you were going to win either way.
Yeah. Right. It was. I wasn't too concerned.
I mean, they were not the favorite, and you bet on them. That's pretty good.
Oh yeah, I love the underdog.
Okay.
Look, if my team's not in it, I always root for the underdog.
I think that's like a natural thing. We all do that. I also didn't care very much about either team. But
yeah.
I don't want the Patriots to win again.
Nah, it's boring.
And the Eagles have never won.
It's like when the Cubs win the World Series. I was rooting for them.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, the Parkland local guy here from where we live, Anthony Rizzo, plays on that team. You know, and Peter knows, you know, the kid. He knew it was the guy who coached him when he was a kid.
Oh, wow.
So, and listen, they never won. You know, it's been years. You want somebody to, you know, it's like that guy in high school that never gets laid. You know, you got to root for that guy.
Yes.
Right?
You want him to get laid, but just not with your girlfriend.
No, not, you know, not with my girl. That would be horrible. Like, hey, I heard so-and-so fucked your girlfriend.
Right, he finally got laid. Aren't you happy?
Yeah. Hey, I'm just taking one for the team.
Come on,
boy.
He's the underdog.
Yeah. Well, so congratulations to those guys. We'll talk a little bit about this in the opening part of the show.
Sure.
Also, as a little
Philadelphia
structural note.
Burned down last night.
I know. As a structural note, we're not going to take breaks anymore on the show. We're just going to go through.
Okay, just bang through.
Yeah. Who needs a break? So rooting for the underdog. So that was the game was great. You know, people, the one thing that's amazing is, you know, here you got a guy like, Tom Brady, who threw for over 500 yards.
Yeah.
That's in miles. You know what I mean? That actually goes out in miles. Like, how many miles is a
500 yards?
500
Probably
yards.
Like a third of a mile,
is
at
it?
Least?
Oh, I thought it was longer. Oops. So, yeah, it's Tom Brady calling me now, trying to straighten me out. Great game, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of fun to watch.
And, you know, and again, the underdog won. Now, where do we go from here? The commercials.
Okay. I did not see all the commercials. I'm going to have to admit.
I didn't either. I tell you the one I liked. I liked the Alexa commercial with Amazon.
What was that? It was. I didn't quite understand it.
Well, so the people came up to Bezos at Amazon and said, Alexa lost her voice.
Okay.
So we have to find in, where are we going to find in last minute replacements for Alexa's voice?
Right.
Right. So then they had like, Chef Ramsay.
Okay.
You know, when some guy was trying to call, Alexa, how do I make a grilled cheese sandwich? And, you know, he's like.
He calls him a cocksucker or something.
Yeah, he says, you're a fucking idiot. You know, it's part of the name of the sandwich, grilled cheese.
Right.
And then this rapper chick, I don't know, rapper chicks, but she was on there and some guy asked, you know, how far is Mars? And then she's like, I don't know, how am I supposed to know how far Mars is? Why, you want to go there, you dummy? You know, but it was just cute commercial.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have Alexa, by the way?
Not yet. I don't want that in my house. Like, that's the thing. Do you want something in your house where they hear everything you're saying?
You don't want the deep state to be listening in on you.
You know, again, I don't care. Like, when we talked about on this show, like...
Sarah's not here tonight, so
no,
you can...
No. You know, I don't care. Like, I don't care if the government's listening to my phone calls.
But you don't want Jeff Bezos listening.
I don't want that creepy fuck. Yeah, I don't trust that guy. I think he's an Illuminati guy. Yeah, I think he's one of these...
I'd actually rather have him listen than the government. I don't trust the government at all. You know, if the government taps your phone, then eventually that's going to end up somewhere.
Well,
if it's a private company, you know, maybe you have a chance to work out a deal with them.
That's the thing. There's nothing in my... Only the people that really care about that are people that really... either they got an issue because... Or they just have something to hide. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So... I don't care. Now, that's a different thing, though. That's one thing when Alexa's listening and you're banging your wife.
Right.
You know, or there's personal conversations. It's almost like on our podcast where sometimes I forget to turn off Facebook Live after the show. And the recording stops, but the Facebook Live is still going. And then we're like, oh, you know, that guy's an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that happen a lot?
It's happened
once
or twice.
Do I have something to apologize for?
I had the one time where we were after a show. Where we had a show at Tavolino's one night, and you know the headliner ate a dick,
uh-huh.
And you know somebody asked, "Well, how'd that person do?" And I said, "Oh my God, it was brutal." And you know, just having a conversation, then you realize, "Oh shit," you know,
right?
You know, you don't
want to broadcast that.
Yeah, you don't want that word to get out.
You produce the show, like
right.
It looks bad on you, right?
Right? Exactly. And by the way, while we're on that subject, I announced last week that there's no more weekly Tavolino's.
Yeah, I saw that.
After 4 years of running a weekly show.
Right.
It's over.
It's all over, folks.
Yeah, and then, of course...
You missed out if you didn't see it yet.
Yeah, people were asking me, like, what would happen, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And in the big picture, what happened was it just kind of ran its course.
Right.
You know, I wasn't having as much fun with it. It was becoming too stressful. You know, the venue was having trouble. You know, they were complaining about, well, one day we make great money, Nick, and one show we don't. And it was becoming becoming a thing. And again, I don't want to get into it. We still are talking about doing once in a while special shows, you know?
Right.
Like, and then, you know, I have to really think about this because, yeah, they've always been great to me. Right, all kinds of, you know, but it just got to the point where I feel like I was getting less respect.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Huh? What do you mean by that?
Just that, you know, it's like when you only make $100, and I've said this on the show, when you only make $100 to produce the stupid thing,
yeah,
and it becomes a chore, and they're saying, oh, what about this and about that, and you know, it's like you're doing all your part that you're supposed to be doing,
right?
But the other side is like kind of pulling away and not doing as much. And then when things aren't going well, you're like. Well, don't blame me, you know, don't blame me that, you know, if there's not a, when I produce a show, my job is not to get people there.
Okay.
You know, that's not my job. You know, if I'm going to be a producer of a comedy show and I'm responsible for getting people there, I want to get paid on that.
Right. You want to make more than $100.
Yeah. I want to get the door. If I'm going to go through all the headache of getting people there, I'm going to do a venue where I'm going to get the door.
Right. Right.
Right. If I'm going to get the door, I'm going to do something with more than 50 seats.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it just came to an end, and you know, for me as a comic, I'm like, enough of this. I got so much shit going on. You know, I need to focus my time a little smarter. I need to get a little more laser. as we'd say.
Yeah.
So I want to worry about writing. I want to focus on more just working on my own act, touring. Hey,
you know, that's important stuff, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. Yeah.
I mean, the great thing about that show is, hey, I had a room I could work every week, work on stuff. I was able to meet new, you know, comics around the country because we did work together, you know.
Yeah, you bring in some big comics. So yeah. You get to know
the people going.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that works out great. Then, you know, but now it's just done. Like, but, you know, again, I'm excited because now I'm going to be doing shows at the Bremen Performance Theater. Bremen, okay. Motor Cars Performance Theater at the iHeart Studios in Palm Beach. And I'm going to be headlining the venue here in February. This is going to be exciting. Great budget. Bremen Motor Cars is the ones who sponsor it, so they got some coin.
Okay.
Right? And they're not asking me about bringing people. They just said, book the show. We'll work on sending emails out to our 30,000 clients, you know? And we're going to send that. And the venue's not saying, oh, we don't want to bug our clients by sending them an email.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
well, that's the key. You get people out who actually want to see a comedy show.
Yeah.
That's kind of the trick, isn't it?
Yeah. But I will say this, and I don't give a shit because it's too, you know, our last show, which had Mark Price,
okay,
Skippy from TV's Family Ties, he did the podcast. He was here last week.
All right.
And I know he got a little concerned because the day before the show, he was asking for comps. And, you know, as a headliner, like when I was at Kazi's a few weeks ago, I asked, I had a couple people, and I said, hey, can I get any, like, one or two comps, you know? Because that place seats like 100 people, let's say, right? So this guy was asking for 20 comps.
That seems like a lot.
It's a lot of comps.
Yeah.
When you got 50 people, you can't give like 30% of the room free.
No.
You know?
That wouldn't work.
And then I'm like, look, I don't know if it's going to happen again. Then the guy tells me, well, these people aren't going to really drink and eat. I'm like, well, I'm definitely not going to give them comps. You know, I'm thinking for the restaurant owner. I'm thinking for Ed, the owner. I'm like, he's not going to want to give comps to somebody who's going to. And sure enough. The show went great, by the way. Mark did great. I've never really seen him perform. He did great. It was a good show. We had a packed house, and everything's good. So then, after the show, these three old ladies are sitting, the friends of his family or whatever, his friends. They're sitting there at a table. They had one beer amongst the three of them the whole show. So Ed charged them $10. They're like, we're supposed to get comped. And Ed said, well, no, I comped that big table there and this and that. And then they got all kind of shitty with Ed.
Right.
And then I'm walked up and Ed tells me this. He goes, oh, they want comps. And Ed says, you wanted me to take it out of your pocket? Which, what the fuck does this have to do with me?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's one other thing I got a little mad. So I'm like, well, then if you want, sure, take it out. I'm like, I was at that point, like, I'm ready on the fence anyway, right?
Right, right.
So I'm like, yeah, whatever you want to do, Ed. You know, whatever. I don't give a fuck. It's 15 bucks, you know? It's not going to make or break me. So I was like, all right. And then they waved. He took $5 off. And the people were still complaining. Now, let me ask you something, Ethan Moore.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're the comic. You bring, let's say you're in that situation, and you're standing there with your friends and family, and they're bitching to the club owner because they still had to pay $15.
Yeah.
What do you do?
If I'm the comic?
Yeah.
I mean, I would feel like, you know, my friends and family that came out to see me, they should be willing to pay a little something for it.
But, you know, so let's say that you're sitting there, the owner, they're complaining about the $15. Like, well, we shouldn't have to pay this $15. What would you do?
Would I step in and say, hey, come on, just pay it. What's the big deal?
You know, me, I would say, look, no problem. You guys, Ed, I would look at the owner and go, no problem. Thanks very much for knocking off what you did. And I'd give $15 to those people. Here, you know what? Just take this. And I would also make a note that I would never invite these fucking deadbeats to my show again.
Right, right.
Right? Because that's just the kind of person I'm. So I'm like, here, you guys, you know what? Don't worry about it. Here's $20. Go fuck yourselves. Right? I'd say it a little more politely. But that's what I would say. Here's $20. You know, go get a scoop of ice cream, you know? And that would be it. But this guy's making a scene with Ed. He's sitting there arguing with Ed.
The comic.
Yeah. Right in the middle of everybody. The people are. This was before everybody left. So I'm sitting at the, now here's the thing, I'm sitting over on the table with the comics ready to eat, the food's delivered, and I see this commotion going on. So I go, hey, I go, guys, I go walking up, I go, Mark, is this over $15? And he looked at me, and Ed looked at me, he goes, get the fuck out of here, I got this. Now, Ed's hot, I know Ed's upset about this whole thing, he's pissed,
right,
he's
right.
been up, you know, he's been pressured about stuff, you know, so I took it as, okay, I'm fucking off, I'm gonna get out of here then. You deal with it, right?
Yeah.
I took it a little personally that he talked to me that way, but, you know, I understand. I respect where he's coming from. He's dealing with bullshit. So then it escalates. I didn't see it escalate, but as he goes to grab Mark Price by the arm and say, let's go outside and talk. Let's not make a scene here. Let's go outside and talk about this. And the minute he kind of grabs his arm. Mark pulls his arm away, like, get the fuck off me. So it turns into a fight.
No way.
Yeah.
The headliner and the owner?
Yeah. It was a bad story.
So you're like, oh, this is the last one anyway.
Well, you know what I mean? And then, you know, like I said, I went over to the owners and I go, listen. And then the thing that really fucking cracked my skull was they blamed me. They said I should have handled it. So the only thing I said, when should I have handled it, before or after I was told to fuck off?
Huh.
You know, and it was just like a weird thing to me. And I was like, you know, this is, you know, obviously everybody here is just not happy, you know, so let's move on.
You don't want when your show turns into, everyone's supposed to be laughing and having fun, and then it turns into
an ordeal.
Like almost violent. Like
it's a drama.
The verge of being violent.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not worth it. So there'll be no more shows on Wednesday at Tabellino's. And, you know, it was funny because they were going to think about it. And Ed told me that night, he's like, let me think about it. And I thought about it. I go, you know what? I'm done. Don't think about it. I canceled all the shows. I had to cancel 32 shows between February and May, which I felt bad telling comics, hey, it's over. That changes their plans. You know, they have this in the book. But hey, I can't do stuff for other people anymore. I got to worry about me. It's the way it goes.
It's interesting how people get caught up in their own world there. Like, you got the people who came in and they're expecting, for some reason, not to have to pay.
Right.
For whatever. I guess the headliner told them, no, it's all free.
Yeah, I'll get you in comp. Don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, actually, I have to pay like, whatever, $7 or something between the two of us.
Right.
It's $15, two people.
$15, three people.
Five bucks
a piece.
And then so they're like, oh, that show I just saw that I enjoyed, that wasn't worth $5.
Yeah, I just laughed for an hour and a half.
Right.
It's not worth $5.
That's
how petty, how poor ass, broke ass are you? That you can't pull $5 out of your pocket.
I mean, I've been to Tavolino's. It's a nice joint.
Yeah.
I don't imagine the people walking in the door there are like the kind of people who wouldn't have $5 to their name.
Well, you know, and it was kind of like I said, I told Mark, I go, listen, if they're not coming to eat or anything, because he goes, if that's the case, I'll have them go to the Sunrise Civic Center where I'm going to be performing. I go, yeah, have them go there.
Right.
I don't want deadbeats in the fucking room. And, you know.
Yeah.
And then here's the worst part. After all this commotion's going on, Mark Price decides he's going to come up to me and say that I had his pay wrong.
Huh.
I said, let me get this straight, dude. You just caused commotion and drama in my room, and now you're telling me that I didn't pay you as much as I originally told you I was going to pay you? This is really where you're going to start another fucking fight? And then he messaged me. He's like, hey, he goes, I'm really disappointed with this, and he sends me a text message that Casey Peruski sent him, because Casey said, here's what I think Doug pays. This is what Doug would normally pay. Like a TV type of credit kind of person. But that's not the agreement I had.
Oh, that's funny.
I said, this isn't my text. This isn't what I sent you. So, you know, and I said to him, I go, dude, I'll tell you what, why don't you come to my house and get it? Come to my house and get it. You were the feather on the camel's back that caused this to be done. You know, you closed my room in a sense.
Yeah.
And you're actually bitching about more money. Here's a fucking mental case. This guy's a mental case. And if any of his fans are out there going to go, I don't give a fuck. The guy's a fucking loon, okay? And go to our podcast. Go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. He admits that he never really had proper schooling when he was growing up. When he was on that TV show, the tutor thought he was going to school, and the school thought he had a tutor.
Oh, wow.
So
he was tricking them all.
Yeah. He fooled everybody with his ignorance. Anyway, getting back to the Super Bowl, did you watch the Timberlake halftime show?
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Oh, it was great.
You liked it?
Oh, my God, yeah.
He's
amazing.
I mean, he was lip-syncing, right? I mean,
I think he was singing some of it.
Yeah, he probably had the mic on, but they had a backtrack on it, I think,
probably,
too.
Probably. I don't
know. And how about that kid that he went up into the stands?
He's too good to show that if he did.
But, there was times he's running and he's walking, the mic's over below his waist,
yeah.
And you hear him singing.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's why they probably have a backtrack, and he probably sings, too.
I'm sure. I'm sure that's how they do it.
And then he went up in the stands, and that one kid was sitting there looking at his phone.
I know, I think that was funny. Everyone was tweeting out
like
basically like a picture of the kid looking at his phone, standing next to Justin Timberlake, and then he's Googling, who is Justin Timberlake?
Who's this guy standing next to me?
But it was amazing, I thought. I don't know. I can't remember how good Super Bowl shows usually are, but I always forget every year.
I mean, some of the best shows, obviously one of the best Super Bowl shows I ever saw was in Miami when Prince played and performed.
What year was that?
I don't remember, but it was in a downpour. He was slamming away in the middle of a downpour. His guitar was out of tune because it was all fucking warped from the song, you know, and he didn't give a fuck.
Was it like 10 years ago, 20 years ago?
I don't think it was 20 years ago.
Okay. But 15 years ago.
I don't know if it's that long. All I know is that it killed. Now, people are saying because Prince would have been against a 3D image of him because he would call it demonic.
Okay.
He actually was quoted as saying that in the past. Like when these type of things are done, what do they call them?
Holograms?
Holograms are used as a demonic way of bringing somebody from the...
Oh, come on.
He wouldn't agree with it. You know, two things that families, Prince's sister handles the estate.
Uh-huh.
She agreed upon it. Another thing, this Martin Luther King ad with the Dodge Ram pickup truck.
Didn't see it.
Didn't see that one. Well, a lot of people are saying because they were using Martin Luther King's speech during a truck ad.
That's weird.
And people were getting mad at Dodge, but hey, get mad at the Martin Luther King family. They signed off on it.
That's interesting.
You know? Wow.
Everyone wants to make a buck. You know, I'm watching, who's the guy from Game of Thrones?
Peter Dinklage.
And just pitching Doritos, and Morgan Freeman's pitching, I don't know what it was. And I'm just like, you guys don't have enough money?
Yeah.
What the fuck? I mean, I guess you can all use a little more money, but like, these people are rich already.
But they're going to, listen, you could never say, okay, listen, Doritos is going to give you $5 million to do a commercial. You're not going to, oh, I have too much. I have enough money as it is. Come on.
I don't know if I'd do it.
You would do it.
I mean, if I already had a bunch of money. What does another $5 million make to Peter Dinklage?
It doesn't matter. It's all relative. You're saying that now, right? But if you're sitting there going, you know, hey, it's a creative thing. Maybe it'd be fun. It's like, to be on a successful ad during the Super Bowl, that's got to be a good, you know, good thing.
I think it's cool if you're like, you know, if you've never worked before.
Yeah.
And then you can like, you know, use that as a way to get famous.
But then you would never be offered $5 million. See, that's the catch 22.
Right.
Who the hell, hey, we're going to get this unknown. You're going to do a Dorito commercial. Who am I? Might as well be that kid who was sitting in front of with Justin Timberlake.
That was an amazing show, though, man. It was like I was like impressed with all the different sets. It's like he's in one place, he's doing one song, then he walks over somewhere,
right,
and he's in a whole new thing, and there's mirrors and all the coordination. And
that was pretty. I like that part. I like the music part. And he went to his music to the tribute.
I knew all those songs too. I mean, except for the late, maybe some of the later ones, but all the old ones are like from when I was in, you know, like college, grad school.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm kind of vibing on the retro feel in the
mid
2000s.
You notice there's those sexy women. There's no more sexy, like now with this Me Too movement. There's no more sexy movement. Only actresses can dress like whores. But when you have people doing like a video or something like that, you want to keep it on the up and up and clean.
Well, that sounds boring.
It does. What else is left from that thing? Fuck, the Super Bowl's over. Although, here's some interesting thing. There was also some backlash for Nick Foles, who's the quarterback.
Okay.
He's a very religious guy.
For the Eagles.
He was very like thank the Lord and kind of thing. And
uh-huh.
Even Dungy, the old coach of the Indianapolis Colts, was saying, you know, he said, you know, you put his faith and your praise in the Lord. And you listen, I am of a religion. I'm raised Roman Catholic. I don't go to church every week. It's been the last time I went to church is when somebody got married. Okay. So I'm not like a devout Catholic and, you know, and read my Bible every night. But I am a God fearing man. I do believe in God and Jesus Christ, and I have faith and these kind of things. And I'm against this country's backlash on faith. You know, it's one thing if you don't like, if you don't believe in religion, if you're atheist and stuff, fine. I'm not going to tell you what to believe in. But if you're going to ridicule me for my beliefs, then you should go to fucking hell, even though you don't believe in it.
Well, I think everyone should ridicule everyone.
Yeah? Well, you're just one of these dickheads then.
I'm fine
causing
with,
fucking commotion.
I'm fine with anyone who wants to make trouble. Seriously, though, because I don't. You know, I was raised very religious. I'm still kind of religious in some ways.
Are you a God-fearing man? Do you believe in heaven and hell? You think there's going to be some payback for those who sin in some sort of fashion? I mean, you're not going to be sitting there with the devil sticking his hot poker up
your
ass.
Yeah, I don't really believe in that.
No, but I believe, like think about this. Like, I have a caring soul, right? So if I do something wrong, right, and then I go to bed worried and concerned about it, I feel bad for doing something hurtful.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
I feel that way, too. That's also part of my like recovery program, you know, right. too. I'm supposed to like admit when I did something wrong and try to, you know, reconnect with the person and try to repair their relationship.
Right.
That's an important part of recovery. But I don't know. I don't think that, I guess the thing that about America and religion that always is like, I'm like, I don't really understand it is I'm like, I don't think that God needs anyone to defend him. In other words, like, it's like, who cares if someone makes fun of like Christianity or Buddhism or Judaism? It's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I don't care if people make fun of the religion. I get mad when people get in trouble. Like, they were saying that there was people saying like, this guy's being religious on TV and stuff. You know, it's ridiculous. Like the Democrat.
What are they saying?
They were just saying like, you know, his all this faith in God stuff. Some of the people, critics were saying, enough. We don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that on TV or at a sporting event, but they want to hear about political protests and Black Lives Matter instead. You know, it's like it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? So I like it. I think why ridicule the person? People of faith are being ridiculed in this country.
Can't we ridicule Jesus Christ and Black Lives Matter at the same time, Doug?
If you're gonna be a hypocrite, don't make fun of it all. Be consistent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? By the way, some Black Lives Matter people got arrested. And they got all let go. It's not like they got arrested. They went on a bus. They got shipped somewhere else, and they got let go. It's not like they spent time. But they're out there. You know, Black Lives. This is how pitiful this is. The Black Lives Matter trying to keep people to show up from showing up to the fucking Super Bowl.
Really?
They try to blockade an entrance to the Super Bowl. I don't know.
What does it have to do with the police?
This is the whole problem with the Black Lives Matter issue. No, but that's why nobody gets it. That's why people don't believe in it. That's why people think it's a big pile of shit. Is because the things they do. For the most part, they're not doing. What are you doing? You know, that doesn't do anything. All you're doing is pissing off people that are trying to go to a fucking game. What kind of message does that send? Like, oh, it just says nothing for your plight.
Here's what I say about Black Lives Matter. I mean, like, two white guys telling
what
Black Lives Matter should be. But it's funny to me because it's like, okay, first of all, I totally agree. There are some legitimate grievances. Like, I think the police, killing its citizens is a terrible thing. But on the other hand, what's the goal? What's the point? Like,
what's the end game?
How do you know when you've achieved success? Like Martin Luther King, we're talking about him. He was like, okay, we need to pass the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. If we do those things, then we'll achieve some measure of success.
Exactly.
And there's some specific things we need to do to get to that point. So that kind of, you know, there's a clear cut objective and a way to get there. This is very amorphous. It's like
there's no end game.
I think you should have Black Lives Matter in your city against your local police force. Or in your, you know what I mean? As a national movement, it doesn't make any sense. Police is a local thing, not a national thing, except for the FBI.
Right.
Which we shouldn't have.
And we know what kind of fucking corrupt cocksuckers those people are.
We should disband the FBI.
No, we shouldn't do that, but it's got to be cleaned up. You know, it's like any organization. It's, you know, there's people and these memos that came out that, you know, people are poo-pooing
on. Memos, come on. Memos are meaningless.
It's not meaningless. It shows you how corrupt the Democratic and the National Committee was. The Democrats were corrupt.
How does it show that?
It shows that because they bought this dossier. They're the ones who funded this dossier.
Wait. The first person to fund it was a Republican.
They were not that particular. They were trying to find information on the Democratic Party and its relations when it came to the uranium thing. They were trying to each party, the Republicans and Democrats,
they both funded the opposition research.
They were trying to find. That's not true.
They did.
No, it's not.
It was the Washington Free Beacon.
No. They were trying to find information on each of the candidates. They were trying to find stuff on Hillary and a Democrat, and the Democrats were trying to find something. Once it became evident Trump was going to be the running person, they tried to find stuff on him.
But that whole investigation got started by Republicans because they didn't think Trump would be the nominee, and they were worried he might, so they wanted to attack him. So you had the Washington Free Beacon, which is owned by Peter Singer's Republican. He contributed to Fusion GPS, got them to dig up dirt on Trump, and then after Trump won the nomination, the Democrats started picking up the tab, and they continued the investigation.
But then what they did was illegal by getting the FISA court to go after somebody.
Well, that wasn't necessarily illegal.
No, it is. You can't.
I don't think we should have FISA courts.
Well, it's a joke. 99% of what they try to get, they put up there, they allow. So that's a whole thing that this memo is going to come out.
They almost never
expose.
Get. Yeah.
But
I think we should get rid of the FBI and FISA courts. I don't want secret courts and secret police in my country.
No, I don't want. I don't want that. Now there. You know, that's a thing. You know, if you do, if you, how can you have a secret court and all this kind of stuff. If no one, everybody in power has to be watched. The police have the internal affairs, you know, and everything has this, like, as a financial advisor, I have FINRA. I got people that regulate and watch over what we do, right? So mm-hmm. anybody who could be in a position of power, abuse of power, they have to be some sort of regulating body over these people, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so listen, again, who the fuck are we to, I'm not even going to get into that. All I know is...
I know, terrorism, all that stuff.
The way that things occurred...
That's what they say.
The way things occurred, people abused their power. People, they did what they did. Now, here's the, again, it's all about the hypocrisy. Towards the end, has it initiated? Everybody's trying, like I said, both parties were guilty of trying to find dirt. You know, like I said, the Republicans, they were trying to find stuff on them, so it initiated it. Then once it became that, then the Democrats took it on hold, and then it got even more dirty because they did a lot of other things that were illegal by pushing something that didn't have validity to it.
But here's the weird thing about that, is that the investigation of the FBI into Carter Page and the whole thing that the memo was dealing with that came out on Friday, they even in the memo itself, they admit that the Steele dossier and the Fusion GPS thing wasn't the only piece of evidence. The whole investigation got started because of George Papadopoulos, who worked for the Trump campaign and was off in London at some bar popping off to Australian diplomats the Russian, he was in the Trump campaign and the Russians are contacting them. So that's how, cause that's what started the investigation. Not, it was George Papadopoulos, it's not Christopher Steele.
It's not out of hand that in every situation, parties from foreign countries, not just Russia, reach out to the political parties to set things in pace, to put out an outline. So that's a bunch of nonsense. That happens all the fucking time.
But the fact that the FBI was looking into Carter Page just because of the Steele dossier.
They were looking at him because they were trying to find something. They thought he was the linchpin to try to get the guy. He was the one. And then, like we
plus
said,
he'd been under investigation since 2013 for illegal Russian ties.
He had stuff which none of that stuff ever came through. None of that stuff was ever prosecuted or even found enough information.
The people that he was doing business with in 2013 went to jail.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. So if something happens and someone else goes to jail and I don't, what's that say? What they did was illegal, then you're not found guilty of it. He was not found guilty of any of that stuff.
But the fact that he was like a known sleazeball by the FBI.
That's why they try. Now, the point is that they at that point, They doctored up the GPS thing, which had no validity to it.
I don't know
which
about
was
that.
The
we
only,
don't know that. We don't
no,
know if
we
it
know.
Has validity
that's
yet.
That, no, it doesn't. It doesn't have any validity. It's already been scoffed and pushed down.
We don't know. It's all
we
classified.
Know.
We don't
no,
know the
we
information.
We do know. If it is, it would have been actually broken out. It is not. You're not going to find shit on that. None of it's going to be proven.
I believe in the P-tape, Dougie.
All right. So I don't believe it. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
I don't care
listen,
either.
Who gives a shit about if a fucking Russian hooker pissed on him?
I say... The FBI should be disbanded and Trump should resign. I'd like to see both of them go.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. Neither one's going to happen. So, any rate, so the bottom line is, and what will happen is, people are losing the faith in this government, bottom line, and those in power.
Like they had faith in the first place. That's how Trump got in, because no one has faith in the government.
That's why they wanted an outsider. He got elected because people are tired of career politicians, a bunch of scumbags.
That tells you that this country's in trouble, to be honest.
Speaking of scumbags, regarding Philadelphia, back to the Super Bowl, you guys heard about this fucking fan that ate the horse shit?
What?
You didn't hear about this?
He literally
ate
horse
shit?
It's on video.
They're on the street celebrating.
Okay.
And this Philadelphia Eagles fan... You know, the cops have their horses, a big old pile of shit's in the street.
Right.
They're all standing around, Philadelphia fans are all standing around this pile of shit for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay. And they decide...
That's just normal stuff you do in Philadelphia.
And this one guy, that he must be, I'm hoping he's drunk, he's sitting there going, you know, he's like looking at the shit, and they're like, they start egging the guy on to eat it. And the guy like, takes his scarf, moves it from the front of his face, because he didn't want to get the scarf in the shit, I guess.
Yeah.
But he didn't mind putting his face in it. Put his face in it, started eating the shit.
Was it like a bet? Like if the Eagles win, like he was a Pats fan. He was like, I'll eat shit if the Patriots lose.
This just looked like a guy who saw shit and said, you know what? I'm going to be different and more outrageous than everybody else here today.
I'll never understand the city of brotherly love.
I don't either. But you know what?
But God bless them, you know? They just won a Super Bowl, Dougie.
Yeah,
they want to eat shit, you know? That's how you celebrate in Philadelphia. Yeah. More power to you.
I would think of much other ways to do it. Just saying. Now let's one little story here I thought was interesting because it relates football with a little bit of politics.
Okay.
You know, this whole DACA thing and immigration, you know, Clinton, Obama, all the presidents talked about the necessity for a good immigration policy in this country. Illegal immigrants and having, you know, no country, no sovereign nation in the world wants illegal people in their country.
Okay.
There's a process. That's why there's laws, right? So But people talk about, oh, you know, these poor people, and you know, they spent 30 years in this country, and they thought they didn't have to fucking do it. Now they're going home. We're all supposed to fucking cry for these people. Get your shit straight, okay? But here's a story: man accused of killing Colts Edwin Jackson was in the U.S. illegally. The man accused of being drunk and killing Indianapolis Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson and another man in an auto accident is living illegally in the United States and has twice been deported, according to the Indiana State Police.
Interesting.
The man, identified as 37-year-old Manuel Orega Zavala, is a citizen of Guatemala and is believed to have been intoxicated and driving without a license. You know, I had an accident. I mentioned this too, because people said, how could you do that? You know, how could you be so mean to people? Fuck you. I had an illegal immigrant get me in a fucking car accident with my old 4Runner.
What? In Florida?
Yeah, $4,000 of fucking damage. The guy didn't have insurance.
I'm sure he had it. Yeah, he didn't have insurance? That's shocking.
Yeah. I guess who had to eat all that? You know, so ask me why I don't feel bad for people that are illegal here, you know, milking us. Regasavi, United States illegal, has previously been deported on two occasions back in 2007 and 2009. State police investigators are working on the U.S. federal immigration. Jackson, 26, and the Uber driver, Jeffrey Monroe, were killed on Sunday morning. On the Interstate 70, Monroe, who was driving a red sedan and had pulled off the highway to help Jackson, who had become ill when the accident occurred. Monroe was standing next to the parked car when a black Ford F-150 pickup truck veered onto the shoulder and struck the sedan, sending one victim into the roadway, according to the police.
This guy's an alcoholic. No way you don't do that. Because think about it. You should be worried about your status, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not the main thing, right? I mean, Americans kill each other with cars drunken all the time.
Right.
But if you're, it's like my uncle used to say, like, you should only break one law at a time.
Right.
You know, it's like if you already know that you're out of status, then you're also going to get in a car drunk. That's just a bad move. That guy's definitely, like, got a problem.
Yeah.
And he's got a really big problem.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, they'll send him back, and our current laws, if they're not changed, he'll come back in. You know, kill somebody else in the car, and some leading liberal will be like, it's not fair. He should be able to live here. And then somebody will hear this and go, well, that's just one guy. But see, that's the fucking point. That's the fucking point.
Is that the point?
That is the point. The point is that I don't care if somebody gets to work and enjoy shit. That's why you have to have laws. You cannot. Nobody is that fucking special where you can just do what you want to do. If you're in this country illegal, if you're in this country right now and you're illegal, you probably shit a brick already because everything that's happening. But if you're in this country illegal, you should be going, you know what? I should be figuring out what to do. Like, think about a comic. You know, he's not getting work. He's a comic and he doesn't have a website. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. To this day, I won't mention his name, but Perry Sack. Perry Sack wants to work.
Uh-huh.
He wants to be a comic, but he doesn't have a business card for comedy. He doesn't have a website. He doesn't even have a fucking proper headshot. You know, so I'm
right.
Like, so if you're going to ask yourself why you're not getting as much work, why you're not paying attention.
Right.
Like you just said, if you're an illegal alien, right, and you're in this country, you know, maybe you should drive slower.
Just be extra careful.
Maybe, you know.
Yeah.
You know what
I would, because I've been in other countries and I've lived in other countries and I've been like in a position before where like I was waiting for a visa.
Right.
You know, like I was there, but I was on a business visa, but it was going to expire and I had to kind of like go out of status for a few days and then come back in.
Right.
And I was always super freaked out during those periods. Like, oh my God, like I need to wait for this paperwork to clear. And
yeah, you're not going to go on a train and start arguing with people about having your foot on the seat.
No, I'm going to lay low, you know, low profile until I work that out. But, you know, I will say that one of the problems is it seems like the U.S. just makes it really hard. Like we don't seem to make it very easy for anyone to get into status. Like they have to. It takes like decades and stuff to be able to go.
It's not. Listen, there's a process.
There is a process theoretically.
In comparison to what other countries do, I mean, it's impossible to become a citizen in most countries. Sweden, Norway, these countries don't make you. They don't want you. They're going to try to keep you from doing it.
See, here's what I'd say though. Like all those people who want to come here, I'd love to have them. We need them.
Yeah.
Let them in. Let them in, give them a green card, and let them work here and pay taxes and contribute. Because we don't have enough people being born
in
this country.
But that's the point. That's the point, though. You know, with one of
the demographic
crisis. One of the things Trump said was, we have no problem with this. It's got to be a vetting process. But we don't want people coming here to suck the fucking tit of this country. We want people there coming that can offer something. You know, if that's if I have a writer's meeting of comics, which I've been thinking about putting together and getting people together and almost have like a writer's meeting, like a little like a consortium of people that I wanted, people I want to help that I think are talented.
Symposium.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to do writing stuff. We're going to talk about, hey, here's some quick things that I think we should all know if you want to get more work, and we'll all help each other out.
Right.
If you want to do, but I'm not going to bring some schlep in that it's going to just sit there and write down everything he fucking hears and never contributes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we need to do. That's what other countries do. Other countries don't just let anybody fucking in, Just no problem. Okay, you've got shit where you're at. Oh, you don't have you can't read, you can't write. Yeah, come on in.
What would you think about this? What if individual states got to decide who comes in?
It's too much decision. Too much decision.
Rather than the whole country, because that seems like I don't know.
There's got to be a set of laws. It's got to be one master list. There's got to be one person one organization that says, "Hey, the government has to decide what's best for the government."
The way I look at it is the state
of Florida.
Like, I don't live in Texas, so I don't care if someone comes to Texas. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me at all. Does that make sense?
Nah, because we're talking about citizens. We're not talking about just becoming someone who lives in. Because once you go to Texas, you can go, okay, here's the problem. If you don't give a fuck, and let's say you're worried about these fucking hoople heads in Texas, they think, all right, let's let this guy in. Then he decides to move to Florida.
Right.
Then the guy comes.
To make the decision when he comes here.
No, you don't. He's already a citizen. You can't get a permission to move from one state to another. What you're trying to say is every state should have their own sovereignty?
I think that would be good.
That ain't going to happen.
Maybe every little city.
I enjoy that you're trying to think outside the box here, Ethan. Yeah. But some of your ideas are a little
just,
fucking ridiculous.
Just simple states' rights, Doug.
Have you abused heroin in the past to come up with these kind of fucking ideas?
I just I don't know. I don't like to listen. I don't like to take the regular perspective.
Yeah. Listen, in philosophy, I used to always do that. I was the kind of guy who would I'm not just going to, like I said earlier, I vote for the underdog. I'm not going to just go what seems to be the right thing to do.
I just have a hard time caring about borders. It's just an arbitrary line on a map, man.
You mean the bookstore?
They went under already. But just come on. It's a border. What is it like? It's not real.
Well, it is. That's the problem. Each country has its own identity. It has its own belief system. It has its own rules and stuff. So, all right. So if someone's in Africa, cannibalism is fine. They could just come in here and then drive down the street and knock somebody in the head and start eating them body parts. That's okay.
Well, no, then they're breaking the law.
Well, no. See, no. You're just saying they don't have to. There shouldn't be a border. People could just walk in and do whatever the fuck they want.
But I think if people started doing that, if your neighbor all of a sudden became an African cannibal, then you have an AR-15. You'd probably go over there and take care of business.
Right. I mean, that's what eventually happened.
What I'm saying is you don't need the cops. You don't need ICE. You don't need any of these guys.
No, but then what happens? I get arrested for killing a fucking cannibal.
Well, no, because there's no rules anyway in this scenario, I guess.
In this anarchist system?
I don't know.
All right. By the way, let's see if this works.
Aren't we all just human beings, folks?
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. See? We don't need a break to show
that. Jump right into it.
Just jump right into it. Here's a time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. Here's a story. Broken toilet forces plane with 85 plumbers aboard to turn around. Is there a plumber on board? Isn't that like the old thing on the plane? Somebody gets sick. Is there a doctor on this plane?
Yeah. Is there a doctor in the house?
Yeah. What are 85 plumbers? This is interesting. What are 85 plumbers doing on a fucking plane together? Broken toilet forces plane with 85 plumbers to aboard to turn around. Nobody seemed to have brought their plunger.
This is like a joke almost.
It is. How many plumbers does it take to fix an airplane?
Right.
Toilet. It's a joke with no punchline. 85 plumbers on a Norwegian flight headed to Germany discovered Saturday when their plane had to return to Oslo because of a broken toilet. The flight, which departed Oslo bound for Munich, turned back at the Swedish border.
Well, all their snakes were in checked baggage.
Yeah.
They couldn't get to them.
We got
to
bring the plane back. I got a snake. We would like to fix these restrooms, but unfortunately it had to be done from the outside. Yeah, they're not astronauts.
Yeah, they're not exactly. They're not airplane mechanics and plumbers.
I got a bungee cord. Let's hang Mustafa out. And we did not take the opportunity to plumber That's what it says.
Plumber?
It says to send a plumber. Sorry.
Oh, plumber.
Out on 30,000 feet. So, once back on the ground, the problem was fixed, and the Boeing 737 resumed its interrupted flight, arriving in Munich about 3 hours late. An Origin spokesman said. So, that would suck. Air travel sucks when you got it. When anything adds to time, I'd be pissed.
You'd say, just hold it, guys.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah, from where to where? Where to Munich?
From Oslo to Munich.
How far is that anyway?
I don't know.
It's not that far. It's not that far.
Yeah, they probably had too much Swiss Miss Cocoa.
They're both in Northern Europe. What, you know, what is that like? The same as like Boston to New York or something?
I'm always amazed.
An hour?
When some people, you watch them get up 4 or 5 times to take a piss on an airplane.
Well, I usually do it, but that's because I'm whacking off.
Yeah.
Or shooting heroin in the
in the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
Well, everybody's got to do what they got to do. Two cops allegedly ate some marijuana edibles and got way too high and called for backup.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a Cheech and Chong movie. Yeah. Seriously, literally, it's legitimately.
One of my favorite parts when Cheech and Chong are in the car and up in smoke and they're smoking.
Right.
The cop walks up and goes, can I see your license? And Cheech goes, isn't it on the back of the bumper?
Yeah, it's right there on the back, man.
It's on the bumper. Yeah, it says here that two cops from Toronto got themselves in a batch of trouble on Sunday when they allegedly ate some marijuana edibles while on duty. They got really stoned and were forced to call for help.
Okay. Did they eat the edibles? Like, did they confiscate them, or did they like accidentally eat them? Like, you know,
like, oh, my kid left their like, gummy bears out.
Yeah, or was it like, no, let's get fucked up and do police work.
The two cops who were part of a 13th Division have been suspended, an investigation pending. Over the weekend, the Toronto Police raided a pot dispensary, which is apparently where the cops got the edibles.
See, this is why I don't trust the cops. I know that they're just going in and busting potheads and crackheads and speed addicts to take their drugs. That's what they really want to do.
That's not fair. That's like saying everybody does heroin sucks cock.
Well, that's a good point, Dougie. But,
you know, speaking of that,
it's only
by the 30 way,
or 40% of us.
Yeah, we had a fun time at the Leon Arpros.
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about that. Yeah. That was amazing. I was shocked. This is Friday night. And I was shocked at how funny everyone was.
Yeah.
South Florida comedy really... really went way over my expectations, which were very low.
It was, yeah. Well, there's a couple people that kind of bombed, but other than that, I mean, but it was fun. It was, you know, I think everybody came. Like, I went there with jokes from Leon. I didn't have any jokes about anybody else.
I didn't know you were on the show until the last minute.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I see a post online. Oh, Dougie's getting on the show. I'm like, okay. Well, I do this podcast with Doug Ayers. Better write a joke or two.
Yeah.
So I was with you and Wayne Felber. I had no idea until the last minute.
Yeah.
But everyone else, I kind of was. I was planning to write for the dais.
I didn't know if my joke on Wayne was too harsh when I said Wayne always brags about losing weight, but body parts falling off because of diabetes shouldn't count.
That's funny, yeah.
You know. But it was fun. And I'm writing jokes because I don't have any jokes about anybody else. So I started writing jokes about people while I was waiting.
Right.
And then as people would go up, oh, fuck. Like somebody told us, you know, the joke about you doing heroin and sucking cock.
Yeah, I think four or five comics.
I told
that.
It anyway.
Yeah.
I just wanted to stress it.
Right.
You know.
But make sure everyone knows.
You know, but there was, that's why I think, an open mic should be. Like if you go to an open mic and it's just comics.
Yeah.
We should just turn it into a roast.
That would be good.
Right. Like, hey, guys, I know you're here to work on new material, but here's a little act. Here's a little test of like not like little act like say an exercise. Why don't we roast everybody?
Yeah, I like doing
you
that.
You know, work on your roasting ability. So yeah, the cops ate the edibles and good for them.
But how come people were good on the roast? That's what I want to know, Dougie.
What's that?
How come people were actually good on the roast?
How come they were good on the roast?
Because here's the thing: like a lot of the comics in South Florida, they don't write,
and they don't. All of a sudden, now they're inspired.
And
to write.
Then they don't. Right, they just do the same jokes over and over. There's never anything.
Well, that's a good point.
Changing.
Here's what I think. I think what happens is with a roast, now you have a direction.
Yeah,
you have a point. You know, when you're writing for your own comedy, that's the hardest thing. You're trying to think, what am I going to write about?
Yeah, who am I really?
Yeah, I'm going to write about me.
Is there a God? What?
Yeah,
should there be borders?
Yeah,
yeah. You ask yourself all these philosophical questions, but then it's like I just got to make fun of so and so comedian for being a fat ass.
Yeah,
and then it's easy.
Yeah, And it's some things that, you know, it's funny, you know, you'd say certain things, and I was laughing at one, I won't mention this person's name ever again, but there's certain comment talking about how all these washed up comics, and I just thought it was funny because this person's not even a particularly successful comic.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I say successful, I mean a working comic.
Right.
Yeah, out of everybody on stage, I don't want to brag, but out of everybody on stage, I was probably one of the only really working comics, right? When you think about it?
Yeah,
like,
I don't
working,
know.
Working?
I guess I consider myself to be a working comic, Dougie.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm at a lower rung.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'll take work when I can get
it.
To
talk about a career. I'm not talking about doing a local gig. I'm talking like a working, you know, so this one comic is like all these washed up comics. I'm like, when a guy said that, I go, They're not even washed up means you've went up.
Yeah,
and then you fell.
I'm still on my way up.
Yeah, they're not washed. They're not even washed in yet. First washed up. But that was a typical thing, and I should have thought of more jokes for that particular person. Here's a story: Texas man on vacation buried alive after sand dune collapses on him here in Florida.
Okay.
You know,
see another illegal immigrant from Texas. This is what I was talking about.
That's when you want a guy from Mexico with a shovel. Help me out. Texas man on vacation buried alive by a sand dune. A Texas man on vacation in Florida was in critical condition after he was buried alive, briefly buried alive Sunday when the sand dune collapsed on top of him. Lee Goggin, 35, of Dallas area, was inside a sand tunnel.
Good God.
At Crescent Beach near St. Augustine at 1 p.m., after 1 p.m., when officials said the whole thing collapsed. Well, again, if you're walking into a sand tunnel and something happens... The patient was in the sand tunnel, hole parallel to the dune, when he became buried under the sand collapse. And St. John's Fire Rescue had written on Facebook, Goggin was buried under 2 to 3 feet of sand before the country's fire rescue team freed him and rushed him to Flagler Hospital in St. Augustine in critical condition.
So was his lungs full of sand?
Nobody else was involved. The man's sister, Rachel Goggin Burt, told the officers he was digging through the sand for a while, his wife, Courtney, was capturing it on video. He essentially dug a tunnel by hand, spokesman said. John's fire rescue told the newspaper he was digging alongside the dunes, which are about 3 to 5 feet high.
That's it?
He was digging along it, and that's when it collapsed on him.
You think 3 or 5 feet of sand, you could get out from under. I guess not.
Yeah, he wasn't breathing. Well, it's hard to breathe when they got that much sand on you.
Oh, my God. Well, that's kind of a nightmare to contemplate, isn't it?
Let's see. Family just started vacation, stopped at the burn energy. She wrote on Facebook that Lee is her best friend and their loved ones continue to pray for his strength and that he will come back to us very soon. The reboot process. I don't know what the fuck they're saying. Reboot process. Maybe he's in a coma.
Okay, yeah. Downer, Dougie.
Yeah, well, you know, listen.
If you're visiting Florida... Enjoy the sand, but no need to dig your way through it.
Yeah. You know, it's like somebody says, bury me. Remember people used to do that? Hey, bury me in the sand. Leave my head. Like,
oh, right.
Like, fuck you. I ain't getting it. It's like letting a whore handcuff you to a bed.
You're not, by the way, if you did the buried in the sand, you're supposed to lay on the ground, and then there's just a thin covering over your body, and then your head sticks up.
Right.
You don't actually dig a hole.
Well, that's what people
And then jump down into it.
Yeah. Well, some people don't know what they're doing. Here's a great story. For sale sign warns buyers, neighbor is an asshole. On January 30th, a British Columbian man's home for sale sign includes a bluntly honest explanation for why his family is moving, because the neighbor is a fucking asshole. Kane Blake said he and his family love most of the aspects of Kelowna neighborhood they live. They have called home for the past 5 years, but they decided to move due to a campaign of harassment from their neighbor.
Good God!
Well, now here's a
move in here. Your neighbor will harass you.
Yeah. I don't understand why the property, he tells his realtor, why am I not getting much money for this? Well, right. That fucking sign you put up, you dummy. Blake said the man has been sending police and bylaw officers to his home for frivolous and unpredictable reasons on a regular basis for years. Blake said he recently caught the neighbor taking pictures of his home. Because my kids won't even walk to school. They're terrified of this fucking loon. We're sort of being forced to sell our home, unfortunately, due to the stress of everything that is being brought from the resident in the area. He said that he tried talking to officials, but nobody gave a fuck to help him. Nobody's going to help you with that kind of shit.
See, I think if that happens, you're supposed to just escalate things with your neighbor. Like, they take pictures out of their home, and then you leave a flaming bag of shit on the doorstep. You know, it's like an 80s movie or something, where you have the neighbors. And
what was that movie with Seth Rogen and the one guy who was in high school, the good-looking guy, the kid? He was in basketball, Dyer, or whatever the fuck he was. He was in the last...
Leonardo DiCaprio?
No. Who was the guy who was... He was with The Rock in the Baywatch movie that came out. It was horrible.
I do not know, Dougie.
I don't know. But he was in this movie where they have a frat house, and Seth Rogen has a house next to him.
Right.
And they have all these frat parties, and he's pissed off because that's what the guy is, a practical joker.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so like, all right, so the guy does something. Your neighbor, right?
Right.
So then you put a flaming bag of shit on his door. And then he stomps, he gets mad. So then he does something to you.
Classic escalation.
But somebody's going to eventually flip and fuck with your kid. Like,
yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True.
Like, the minute, like, and, you know, that's what I mentioned that comic. You know, that's one of the things I didn't want to say anything because I figured the guy's going to come out and, you know, fucking bring up the fact that, you know, some personal thing about my family. You know, some people don't know when to draw the line, like when they're, or they're crossing the line in a sense.
Right.
You know, all right, put a bag of shit on you. Okay, then the guy ends up raping your daughter. Well, listen, that's a little different than putting a bag of shit on my fucking...
Wow, that's where you went. Okay.
Well, I was thinking of something dramatic.
It could be. I guess it could go there.
Kill your dog, right? Like these...
It'd be funny if you never raped anyone and then you were like, that bag of shit, though.
It
drove me over the edge.
I've never raped anybody. When I was stepping on that shit, I thought, his daughter ain't bad. I'll fuck his daughter.
His dick starts to get hard.
Yeah. But it's like these people, I had these stories, there was a few stories a few months ago, right, of these people putting, like, nails and shit in meatballs and feeding them to dogs.
That is
it's fucking
highly
cruel,
disturbing.
Man. You know, if somebody did that to my dog, if my dog was sitting there, I took him and he's dead, and they said, some of your neighbors must have given this guy, and I kind of had an idea who it was, I would go to that door, pull out my gun, and put a fucking bullet right in their chest.
You would kill someone for your dog?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, man. That seems bad, Doug. You don't.
But
do
I
that.
Would do it in a way where they wouldn't know who it was me.
Well, now when they listen to this, they're gonna know.
No. Well, listen, I'm not gonna let my dog eat any meatballs.
All right, stay away from meatballs, player.
Dog, no meatballs.
He looks okay down there.
Disney guests disturbed by unexpected headless singing Ursula.
Okay.
Can you imagine your kid sitting there in Disney World? Oh, that's Ursula.
Ursula the Sea Witch.
Yeah. Right. It was in what was that one?
In The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me assume what time is. I'm not even paying attention. All right. Yeah, we got this is our last story, by the way. Disney guests disturbed by an unexpected headless singing Ursula. Says here that on January 30th, guests at Disney's California Adventure reported getting an unexpected scare when Ursula the Sea Witch's head fell off.
My God.
And she kept singing.
Okay.
That's an artist for you.
Right.
Show's not over. Photos and videos captured the park on Sunday and posted to social media show the villain from The Little Mermaid singing with her head dangling over her torso.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
that's one way to...
I'm sorry, there's no Santa Claus and no Ursula.
Yeah, and Ursula has no head. It's unclear how long the ride was operating before Ursula was repaired. That was an animatronic one. The animatronic statue was actually the second to lose its head during the weekend at the Disney park.
When I was a kid, I was sexually attracted to Ursula.
Really?
Yeah. She got those big cans, you know.
Oh, the big titties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something about that.
It's like the German beer girls.
Yeah, a little right? St. Pauli girl, except she had tentacles too.
Oh yeah.
Imagine what she could do with all those tentacles, Dougie.
Oh my God. You know what? I want to start pulling up some photos of her. I might have an attraction.
They try to make her ugly, but I mean, you know, she's got the big cans.
Hey, sometimes those ugly chicks could be attractive.
You know
what I mean? I mean, you ever have that? You ever have a girl like, I don't know what it is, I'm attracted with this girl. I really want to bang her.
Yeah.
That happens. Anyway, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Before I tell you who I'm thinking about now, who's ugly, I want to bang. I'm being too honest.
The ugliness is what makes it attractive.
Yeah, there's one particular
person. It's like disturbingly ugly.
There's one girl, she's kind of ugly. Sick. She's got a face like a horse, but there's something about
Sarah
her.
Sarah Jessica? No. Okay.
Well, she does too, but this one particular person, I think I want to bang her. And I wouldn't, but I would.
Because you're married. And
if I wasn't married, I would.
The bonds of marriage.
Yeah, I would, and I would bang her and not tell anybody.
Right.
Because I wouldn't want anybody to know. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys, to the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Wake Up Dougie. You can join our fan page on Facebook.
Do it.
At Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. You can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. I think it's Friday night. I'm going to be at the Back Room Comedy Club headlining Tom's NFL.
Nice.
That's where it's located.
That's a good room.
Always a fun room. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com and check that out. Tomorrow in the studio will be Elgin David and No Maynor.
No Manor. Oh, okay.
She'll be here tomorrow. We have a woman here.
Wow, Dougie. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Well,
trying to make this podcast great again.
We're trying to make it great
some
again.
Chicks in the
and
seats.
And Ethan.
Yeah, I've got a couple things. So tomorrow, Tuesday, at 33rd Street Wine Bar. You can come out and see Freddie Stebbins, Miami comedian, this past year. Headline. We've also got some other great comics on the show. Come check that out tomorrow night at 9 p.m. 33rd Street Wine Bar in Fort Lauderdale. Also, check out my podcast about politics and current events. It's called Mean and Sober. You can get it at meanandsober.com or iTunes.
There you go. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you here tomorrow right at the same spot.
People of the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. The beaming light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children of the sun, they started to climb.